Welcome to Inclusion Matters, produced by the Center for Inclusive Childcare,
aka the CICC.
We're located at inclusivechildcare.org.
Welcome to Inclusion Matters, a podcast of the Center for Inclusive Childcare. I'm Cindy Kroc, Director of the Center for Inclusive Childcare, and I'm here once again with Priscilla Weigel, one of our inclusion consultants. So happy to be here again with you, Priscilla.
Thanks, it's always fun.
And we are continuing our discussion around transitions, and what we're going to do today is talk about now strategies and planning for those sometimes tricky transitions. Mm-hmm. And so we're excited to see what you have today to share with us around some of the strategies you've come up with in your practice.
Okay, well, one thing, of course, as you already alluded to, is just planning for them. Include them in your written plans. Knowing that you're going to have a chunk of time between an activity, plug something into that so you have a written note of it, and then that'll help you keep it mentally, a mental note. Then also make sure that all your materials are ready for the next activity. And that means prep time ahead of time. And, you know, I know that we don't have a lot of extra time in our lives. We really don't. But in the long run, it's worth it to have those things all ready to go so that when you have children seated at a table for a painting activity, you're not mixing the paint. It's already mixed. They're going to come. They're going to sit down. They're going to get right down to work, because the more we encourage them to sit and wait, the more challenging behaviors we're going to see, or
right,
frustrated kids, or just kids who shut down, who aren't going to really enjoy that learning activity. Looking at I talked about this in our last podcast, but reducing the total number of transitions. A lot of times we have too many. I'll give an example. One center, the kids sat down and they had a story in one classroom. Then they all lined up and they had to be dismissed by whether or not they were ready, which, you know, could be never if you really think about it. So let's move those kids out. But then they had to get in line and walk down the hall to another classroom. They went in that classroom, sat down, and read more stories. Why? Why move those children? Why go through all that? And so just looking at what are you expecting? Why is it necessary? So reducing that total number of transitions is really important. Give children warnings.
Mm-hmm.
Prepping them for what's coming, whether it's a musical signal, whether it's visual, whether it's both. And especially the child who has a tendency to have a little more difficulty with transitions, give them a heads up before everybody else.
Right.
Give them some parameters to say, here are 5 more red Legos. When you're done building with those, then line up at the door, so that they know there's an end and that they have that reminder in their mind, because you want them to be successful. You want to set them up for success.
Right. Very good.
So giving that advanced publicity and saying, after we clean up, we're going to do blah, 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 blah. You're going to tell them what's coming next. I've had so many groups when I've been with them, and I will be sitting there as an observer, or I will be participating in the group as a support person just to kind of help model some of my strategies that I've encouraged them to use. And the teacher will say, okay, guys, we're going to clean up. And so the children are all cleaning up. And oftentimes I've said to the children, what comes next? Just out of curiosity, what are we going to do now? And children will say, I don't know. I don't know. And that we're missing an opportunity there to prepare that child,
right,
to say, after we clean up, it's going to be time to sit at the table for snack, or we're going to go wash our hands. So you give them a job to do. You're giving them that action. That's what they want. They want to do stuff. So we're going to give them something to do.
So in this example you just gave, these are programs that maybe do not have a picture schedule for
mm-hmm.
the routine?
Mm-hmm. Or they may even have a picture schedule, but
they're not referring to it.
Well, they're not referring to it. And why not emphasize it 2 different ways?
Right.
Verbally and visually.
You know, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Last week I saw somebody was talking about making sure your picture schedule is able to come to the child.
Mm-hmm.
So that not only is it up on the wall and you're referring to it, but you often bring it right to the child and show the child the picture schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, what a great idea, and how responsive that is to
right.
just sometimes bring the schedule right to where the kids are.
Right.
It's kind of a no-brainer in a
right.
way, but...
But it's little things that, and I think we talked about it too, putting yourself in their shoes. What's going to help? What would help you feel comfortable in this situation? When we go to a conference and we're going to be sitting there all day, they give us an agenda. We
exactly.
know what to expect.
Mm-hmm.
If we just showed up and knew that there were 8 hours ahead of us and we had no idea how they were going to spend those hours, ish, Right. Wants to sit there. So that gives you anxiety. We don't want that. Using, you know, just one step, two step, three step directions appropriately for that child's age. Not giving them these long-winded, one example is a child that I was working with who had Asperger's syndrome. And the teacher said, clean up your stuff after lunch, put your lunchbox in your cubby, throw your garbage in the garbage can, and go in the bathroom and wash your hands. So this little guy ended up standing in the bathroom with his lunchbox. Because out of that long thing, those are the words that stuck in his mind. It was too much, too much information. Couldn't be successful. It was too hard. So we want to set him up for success. Sometimes you need to physically guide children. You need to touch them on the shoulder to help them remember that, boy, this is where we're going. Or just take them by the hand. They need a partner because transitions are tough. They're challenging for this child. You know that. So you're going to be the handholder, or you're going to pair them up with someone. That's always a great recipe for positive success, too. When you're positioning staff, sending the kids ahead, those who are ready in their snowsuits, get somebody outside by that door, send those kids that are ready out there so that they're not sitting on the ground sweating in all of their snow gear looking just forlorn, because they're going to be the kids who get ready like that, and there's going to be the child that needs extra help. Split up if you can, and realistically not everybody has two staff, I know that, but if you have that opportunity, take advantage of it.
Great idea.
And just looking at how you position your day, avoid moving, as I said in the earlier example, the entire group to things. Split up the group in two parts and say, this group's going to work on this while you guys are playing, and then we're going to swap. Or maybe when you feel like doing your art project, come on over. Or even snack time. You know, so many times we think that everybody has to eat snack at the same time, and it just causes such a challenge, especially the nap time after nap time snack. That has been consistently an issue for a lot of programs, a lot of centers, because children are tired, some kids are waking up, some kids are not, and we're trying to get everybody off their cots and at that table. Instead, putting out the snack and saying, free play is open, and so kids can, you know, you're not
That's
always going to be ready to eat the second you pop up off of your cot. And who pops up out of a nap? Some kids do, some kids don't.
Right.
So just remembering that these are little human beings that have differences and feelings. Their schedules might be not all the same.
Exactly.
And so how are we going to meet their needs based on that information?
That's a great point again, and I think if we keep going back to the emotional development as well and thinking about regularity and how we are helping kids with their own self-regulatory development. And again, some kids are going, their regulation is going to be at a different level than other children.
Right.
So some will, in fact, be very regular in how they sleep and how they wake up and then how they eat, and other children won't be. And our goal is to be a conduit and an encouragement in their regulation and not, in fact, a stumbling block in some way. And so you're, I think I like that idea of encouraging children to maybe have a little bit of time so they know their own systems, and then, oh, I'll get snack now. Now I want snack. I'll eat now. I know my own body.
Mm-hmm.
That's so empowering, again, when we think about children's positive mental health. That's
definitely.
I like that.
And what it means to be, when you say to a child, oh, you can't line up because you're not ready, what does it mean to be ready? Let's let kids decide. My idea of ready for a three-year-old might be very different than what that three-year-old can achieve. But if they're sitting and listening and making eye contact, they don't need to be sitting still and completely quiet, because that's really hard for a three-year-old. They can be listening and still making a humming sound. You know, it's not the end of the world.
Exactly.
So just really looking at where they are within themselves and helping them be that internally motivated person, not always based on those external motivations and rules and guidelines all the time.
Oh, thank you, Priscilla. I think you've given us some wonderful tips on transition that can be very helpful for planning. And then again, in the midst of transition, to help us remember, oh, okay, let me think about this. How could I do this in a way that's going to, as you like to say, and I love this a lot, help the child be successful here, because that's everybody's goal.
Right.
So again, thank you so much.
Thanks for inviting me.
And thank you for listening to this podcast of the Center for Inclusive Childcare.
That's all for now. See you next time.